It's Easter weekend and the great getaway has begun. Everybody is leaving town, going out into the country, seeing family, all that kind of thing. The workplace seems eerily quiet this morning. Around the table with me today is Kathleen Hawkins.
Hello.
Beth Rose.
Hello.
Johnny Cassidy. This is Inside Ouch.
How are you doing?
Hello, Johnny. Sorry, I sped on a bit too fast there. And I'm Damon Rose. So who's going away this Easter?
I'm going away. Yeah. I'm going to Cornwall this afternoon, which is very exciting.
Yeah, I am as well. Heading back to the homestead up north.
I'm not, actually, because I go on trains every single day. So I'm going to go home, chill out for 4 days and just knock about around where I live.
Yeah. Yeah, I do that a very long daily commute like you as well, Johnny. And it's a treat not to go anywhere near rail infrastructure and to sit in uncomfortable seats for such a long time.
Do you know, the commute is a funny thing because when you are commuting, and you know, as you say, I commute a big long distance into London as well. And during the day, when it is commuters, it's fine because the traffic flow, and this sounds really travel geeky, but the traffic flow of people is made up of commuters and they know where they're going. And people are all in, like, in formation nearly. People are all going where they're going. But on bank holiday, I got no rules apply.
Havoc ensues.
Just totally, totally. You know, it's I'm not saying that it's a modicum of, you know, complete control usually, but a bank holiday is just bleh.
And we're talking about transport today because a report has come out from the House of Lords, which says, amongst other things, that transport is still a very big problem for disabled people. And around the table, we thought we'd bring in some of our personal experiences of transport. The thing that always comes into my mind when I think about transport and access recently is Tanny Gray-Thompson about 6 months ago regularly tweeting about how she was stuck on board of a train and wasn't able to get off it because the person who was supposed to meet her and put the ramps down hadn't arrived. And so she threw her chair off the train and sort of manoeuvred her body off the train and into it. But, you know, she's kind of able to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, one of my friends does that quite regularly.
Really?
Yeah, she just says that it's not worth going through the rigmarole of setting up the ramp system and waiting for them to arrive. So she will, if anybody helps her on the train, then great. But otherwise, she will just get herself out of her train, put the wheelchair onto the side, onto the platform, and then just lift herself off.
And what about
very dangerous if there's a gap.
Well, I was going to say, what about a station like, you know, London Centric, sorry, but Clapham Junction's notorious. It's got, you know, the gap's about a foot and a half. What do you
so
do there?
So busy as well.
Yeah.
Well, she's very mobile. She's very strong in her upper body, so she is able to lift herself.
Yeah.
But as she gets older, that's going to become increasingly difficult, so she will have to rely more on the system, I guess.
And I suppose the point is that she shouldn't have to do that. Tanny Gray-Thompson shouldn't have to do it. People shouldn't have to do it. There is supposedly access requirements taken into consideration when you're going on a train. But
I think they are there, aren't they? But it just comes with a level of frustration if you are having to wait for them to be there.
When you are travelling, do people respect your difference, as it were, and give you seats or help you out? How does that work?
It's hard for me because I have an invisible disability. I'm a double-leg amputee. So if I'm wearing trousers and it's covered up, then people have no idea.
I like how we're calling that an invisible disability.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why I did that.
Because normally people talk about mental health issues. And
yeah, it's okay. Because I...
Good pair of trousers makes your...
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty much invisible unless they can see it. And I think I'm using that expression because I have been thinking about it in terms of public transport and how I have to be so vocal if I want people to realise that I am disabled and need a seat. And I hate doing that.
And what's the outcome if you don't get a seat?
I have to stand.
And what does that do? Why is that a problem for you?
Well, it's painful. So you can be standing for 45 minutes on a regular journey, and it's sore. I definitely could do with a seat, especially first thing in the morning when you're coming in. The last thing you want is to start the day in pain.
Do you always ask for a seat?
No, not at all. Which is the onus has to be on me in some way to ask for it. But at 7:30 in the morning, I don't want to be doing that sometimes. So this morning, for example, I got on and a seat became available. So I did that, sneaking in as quickly as you can, slippering into the seat before anybody else could nab it. And a woman opposite me looked at me with disgust, and I realised that there was a woman stood up who was 50 plus, who perhaps should have been entitled to that seat as well. And the woman opposite didn't realise I was disabled and made a point of saying to this other woman, "Don't worry, I'm getting off at the next stop." And then looked down and could see my prosthetics because I pulled my trousers up a little bit.
You did that on purpose?
Yeah, of course.
So you flashed a bit of what?
A bit of prosthetic at the bottom. A little bit of ankle.
Take that. How guilty do you feel now?
I know. And she said, "Oh, sorry, I had no idea."
See, that's interesting. And you say about the invisible disability as well, because I get on with my right stick. Obviously, I can't see. And people will get up. And there might be maybe 50, 60, 70-year-old people will offer, you know, me a seat. And I'd say, no, don't be daft. Like, you know, sit away. You know, and I would like to take it, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with my legs. Mm. You know, so there's no reason why I can't stand. You know, but people still think that they should offer.
Yeah.
You know, and I've just had this thing that, you know, I won't use disability to get stuff that, you know, I don't need.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I've got an issue about the guilt thing as well, and it's not saying about you, Kathleen, but one of my bugbears about public transport is, can you move down? Can you move down? There's a blind man here. Right? Mm. You know, and people use me or use somebody else with a disability as their collective bargaining chip to get what they want. And I'm saying, leave me out of this, chum. You know, it's nothing to do with me.
You think people do that? Because that kind of thing happens to me. People are doing that to get something for themselves?
I do think so, yeah.
What are they getting?
They want people to move down. Or it's somehow saying, "Aren't you guys terrible? Do you not see that there's a blind man here? Or there's somebody in a wheelchair?" Or
I think they're trying to portray their like sensitive, sympathetic side.
Yeah.
Like trying to do this altruistic act in front of everybody.
Yes, and as far as I'm concerned, it totally goes the other way because, you know, I hate that.
Yeah.
Young people going, "Watch out, blind man coming through." And I'm thinking, "Oh my Lord."
Oh, I had an announcement made about me over the tube tunnel last Thursday. It was a bit embarrassing. The driver, and she used me as an excuse for delaying the train. This was the tube driver. We stopped in a station and she said, "Now there's going to be a 20-second gap because we're clearing this platform because a blind man with a guide dog has to get off
the tube at this point.
And
big arrows pointing at your head.
Yeah, big arrows pointing at me. And I, of course, I said loudly, "I can do it in less than 20. And the whole carriage laughed, thankfully.
Comedian.
But anybody, you know, it's a funny thing because nobody wants to be the centre of attention, really, unduly called for. You know, there's sometimes when you do want to be the centre of attention, but ask anybody, you know, able-bodied or with a disability or not. Nobody wants to be made that centre of attention when they haven't asked for it.
I think that's why I struggle to ask people for seats as well, because I don't want to draw attention to myself. I just want to be able to sit down.
Yeah.
Do you give up your seat for disabled people, Beth?
Well, yes, I do. But actually, as Kathleen was pointing out, probably only if it's a visual thing, if I know. Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it is.
I wouldn't expect everybody to suddenly offer their seats to everybody, because how would you know?
Yeah, and you kind of need
to come from
divide.
The individual.
Mm. I mean, obviously, if you're pregnant, you can get a baby on board badge. So
yeah,
I don't know if that's a good idea.
There was a campaign for a while, wasn't there, by Transport for All to try and get badges for people with disabilities that aren't that obvious.
And who would wear them? Would they?
I would.
Would you?
Well, I was tempted to get a baby on board one, even though I'm not pregnant, just because it would.
You've only got a few months to use
what
that.
What a great idea. What a great tip for disabled women.
I might go, I wonder if that would work. But, you can go down dangerous roads there. A friend of mine told me that somebody gave her the seat and says, here, have the seat in your condition. She wasn't pregnant.
You do hear that on occasion.
Mm. Maybe her condition was just being a woman.
Too many
pies.
Because
we're disabled by society, people.
I think too many pies is her condition.
Can I tell you about something that happened to me at the weekend?
Mm.
I nearly did something quite violent. Yeah? I nearly smashed a window. of a taxi.
Intentionally.
Wow. Yeah, intentionally.
Wow, Damon.
And I was just a second away from doing it. I think I'm a bit embarrassed sitting here talking about this. And, of course, I don't condone this kind of thing, kids, these kind of bad thoughts. So what happened was I had gone down to Kent to see my parents for the first time in a very long time, actually. I'd been to that town. And I left the train station, went outside to get a taxi. Someone showed me to the front of the taxi queue. And just as I reached the front of the taxi queue, the driver suddenly put his engine on very, very quickly. And the wheels started skidding out of the station. I was right next to the taxi at this point, and I started really banging on his window, and I thought, shall I, and I was going to elbow it in.
Wow.
and smash it, and I was thinking to myself, well, hang on, who's more in the wrong here? Huh? Would it be me for smashing your window and causing you some difficulties, or would it be you for what I assumed was happening, him not wanting to take my guide dog, which is a criminal offence now.
You do hear of that happening quite a bit, you know, some taxi drivers just don't want to take dogs. But you're right, Damon, you know, it's never the answer.
Did anyone call after your taxi driver? Or
The guy from the station took his registration number down.
And have you heard anything since?
Well, he was going to follow it up, and I thought about following up for myself, and then I thought, well, actually, I don't have enough energy. Can't be bothered. These kind of things happen to me all the time. You know, I was shouted at this morning on the tube.
But the guy at the station thought as well that it was definitely because of your guide dog.
Yeah.
He just drove away.
Mm.
Has that happened before?
That hasn't happened to me for about 15 years, actually, that someone has literally skidded. And he was skidding out.
Do people ever say, well, no, we're not taking guide dogs?
I often get, if I'm confronted with somebody, it's usually the, you know, I've got an allergy.
Yeah.
Reason, which I believe they have to have a certificate for if they genuinely do have an allergy.
That makes it so difficult for you to travel.
Well, it does make it difficult, but do you know what? In some respects, I can understand that some people may not want to take dogs in their cars, but when they do something like that happened on Friday night, it's one of those things that makes you feel like a second class citizen.
Yeah.
It's just blatant lack of empathy and understanding, really. You know, and that person, you know, karma will come back and bite their bottom.
And if you're going to be a taxi driver, you have to expect to take disabled people, I think.
Yeah.
Part of the gig.
Funny story that happened to me years ago when I was travelling from London up somewhere up north, and I was getting the National Express, and a guy with a prosthetic leg came and sat down beside me. Very interesting fella, it turns out. But the weirdest thing happened, that he rolled up his trouser and he took his leg off and it was hollow inside.
Mm.
And he took his sandwiches out.
He took his sandwiches out.
Maybe he's got a cooler pack in there. Keeping it chilled.
And he offered me a sandwich and I thought,
oh. Out of his leg.
Yeah. And I thought, no thanks, I'm not hungry. My stomach turned, if I'm honest. You know, I thought, like, you know, that is bound to have been a very sweaty place where those sandwiches were.
No, actually.
Probably not.
Because the liners, you put a liner on first and that will get very sweaty.
Yeah.
But then the liner goes into the prosthetic. Yeah, yeah. So there's no crossover between liner and prosthetic.
Yeah.
Ingenious. I am definitely going to keep things.
When you go out
now.
Of an evening now, you can just put like your bank cards, cash.
Sneak alcohol into bars.
I don't know.
See, now that you've mentioned that, Kathleen, I'm all up for it. If he had pulled out a bottle of whiskey,
yeah,
that would have been a different thing.
This might be a crazy thought, but you know, there's bags.
Yeah, but you have to carry those.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you've got a bit of a compartment ready and waiting.
Won't it set you off on the wonk if you've got some, you know, a bit more weight in your leg?
Yeah, a sandwich is fine. Something.
Yeah, then you have to level it up on the other side. You put a bottle of whiskey in one, you have to put the bottle of lemonade or ginger in the other one.
But going back to transport and this report that has come out today from the House of Lords, we often hear about transport difficulties, and we've been talking about some of them today. The one thing that often isn't talked about is the independence that transport brings, and that is the most important thing, really. And the knock-on effect, if you don't have good access to transport, is that you cannot necessarily get a job very easily. You can't get into your nearest town very easily. You can't socialise, you can't see your family, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and in reality, I know as a commuter, one of my bugbears and big passions is, you know, I rail against the train company that I use constantly. But when you think about it, the way the trains work, 9 times out of 10, it's fine. The staff on it, fine. And then when you get into London, I think it's the best travel system in the world by far for access.
In London?
Yeah.
One of my friends is American and he moved over about a year ago and he's paralysed, so yeah. He uses a chair. He says he's never felt disabled until he moved to London.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
This is your perspective as somebody who's visually impaired, isn't
yeah,
it? Because
yeah,
it's
yeah.
amazing. The whole transport system for visually impaired people is pretty good, isn't it?
It's really good. And, Joe, you know, it's nearly like, because people talk to me about London being unfriendly. I think it's really friendly because I travel about quite independently on the underground, you know, at stations you know especially. And you might be walking and you could be going towards a wall. And a lot of times I just feel a little hand on my shoulder just pushing me gently, ever so gently, to the left or to the right or something. And nobody will speak. You know, it's nearly like guiding hands, you know.
That just really surprises me.
Yeah, you know, I do. I find it really, you know, people are always, always there, willing to help. You know, you're only around maybe for 10 seconds or something. You know, if you are lost, and somebody will come up to me, and maybe I'm just an approachable chap.
And can I use this podcast just as to give a little apology at the end here? Just want to say a bit of an apology to the to the woman with who I later discovered was using sticks, who was getting off the train in front of me on Friday night. I'm just really sorry for bowling into you and crushing you and making you fall over. I just intend that to happen. But, you know, if you'd have said you were talking to me, I didn't know you had sticks. I didn't know.
There's a funny one. That one time on the train, I was sitting and a guy came bowling down the carriage and he sat straight on top of me, and he had a coffee and it spilt all over me, it spilt all over him, and he started having a right go at me. He says, "You seen me coming down there with my right stick, you knew I couldn't see." And at that moment I thought, what should I do? Should I tell him or should I just leave it? And I just went, "Really sorry, mate."
And did that make you feel as if you had the upper hand?
I just really couldn't be bothered. You know, I didn't know where to start because he was angry. And
yeah. It would have diffused straight away, though, had you said.
It probably would have, but it wouldn't have allowed him to vent his steam. He wanted to, you know, get angry. You know?
So good.
What are the chances of that?
It happens quite a bit, you know.
Oh, does it?
Like, I've had lots of Zorro-type fights, you know, with people in white sticks, you know, going up the road.
And people, fencing.
Yeah, you know, and people say, you know, I said to my missus, and I tell her all the time about the trials and tribulations of travel, and she'll say, "Do you know, if people seen that, if people were watching that,
you should start wearing a GoPro."
I know, yeah. Oh, I have thought about that. Yeah, I have thought about it. Just one last story. I know we're going to wrap it up, but it happened about maybe 2 years ago, and I was sitting and the conductor come on and stopped a guy for not having his ticket, and he was giving him a fine, do a penalty fare fine and everything. And the fella goes, "Look, this isn't fair. Look, you've stopped me. What about Stevie Wonder over there?" And I should really have got offended by that, but it really made me laugh. I'd really burst out laughing with it.
And did he come over?
No, because he, by the time the whole thing had been sorted out, the inspector fella had to get off at the next stop.
Goodness. Well, thank you everybody for the conversation. Very good. Equality. Seems we're not so good to each other either. This has been Inside Ouch. If you want to email us, we're ouch@bbc.co.uk. Tweet @BBCOuch, and we're on Facebook too. Until next week, when it's our 10th anniversary special.
Ooh.
Goodbye.
Bye.
See ya.